live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
We have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
Maybe don't try that in North Idaho. Just a gentle suggestion, maybe don't. Today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made, and these are the times in which God has decided we shall live. We have unique sets of responsibilities. One of them is really, for me, not to make this about me, but I'll just share a little bit of inside jibber-jabber with you. And this is the jibber-jabber in my head. This is the conversation between radio host's role and Christ follower. I don't want to mock Joe Biden. I don't want to mock his dementia. But for the sake of all that's holy, in fact, for the sake of all that's patriotic, this man, he ain't running a thing. Did you hear this? Just, someone told me, and I thought it can't be. This isn't real.
When I was a young man, I drove an 18-wheeler, a truck for a living, around the country with my dead son, Bo. And my dead son, Bo, he was a chimpanzee. A lot of people think chimpanzees are monkeys, but they're not. They're muskrats. I mean, no. They're primates. Primates. My dead son, Bo, and I drove that 18-wheeler, and we went and solved crime, and, what? No, I meant my son, Hunter. My son Hunter solved the crime. I drove the 18-wheeler.
You never were a trucker. That never happened. You never drove an 18-wheeler ever. He's the man to whom we're to refer to as the President of the United States.
It's four wheels. It's basically 18. Well, you know the things that roll on the bottom of the ride bucket thing.
He's not president. Even if he won, he's not. But it's all normal. Everything's normal. I'm thinking that James O'Keefe has himself a special treat for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Sandy. That was her name growing up, Sandy. Like Barack Obama's name was Barry. They confronted her outside of a building. She was in there probably photo-opping or, you know, pretending. She's been back to pretending that her life was at risk during Jan 6. She wasn't in the building. But she's back on TV saying, I was afraid I was going to be raped when I was across, you know, in a different building. AOC's walking out, and a guy walks up to her, and he's wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt, and he asked for a photo with AOC.
1 hour, if I can, please.
Oh, my goodness, yes, of course.
Yes. I did. I drove 1 hour just to let you know that I am a journalist with Project Veritas.
Oh.
Got him. Do you even live in the Bronx? Because we investigated that. When an elected representative hides behind her fame, Project Veritas, we expose everyone, sir.
The handlers, AOC's handlers, because she's an invented product like Barack Obama was an invented product. I mean, at least Barack is smart and has a look. Barack Obama, he's a high IQ cat. He's scheming and clever. AOC's just camerogenic, photogenic, videogenic, socialgenic. Well, I think it helped. Race is everything these days, so I think it's incumbent upon me to say that the young man who approached her happens to be a black man with a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. So she's, it's one of my people. Didn't she say that being Puerto Rican, she's basically black? I think she said that once. I mean, I'm basically black. You can say all sorts of things when you have a media that's always
leading
on
up to
your
the
side.
$1 million lottery drawing to entice more people to get the COVID
but
shot.
The winning begin. The first drawings in the state's vaccine lottery actually happened today.
No, we are answering your vaccine lottery question.
Extremely dangerous to our democracy.
You may have seen these on the social media, particularly on Twitter. There's a bunch of messages that they're not being retweeted. They're being pasted into accounts and sent out as if they are original tweets. And there are a lot of people pretending to be doctors. Some of them might even be doctors. And it says the same thing. I just left the ER. We are officially back to getting crushed by COVID-19. Delta variant is running rampant, and it's much more transmissible than the original virus. 90%, 95% of our ICU admits did not receive a vaccine. Virtually all of them wish they had. That's one account, dude. Sam Gall says he's a doctor. He may be. He's maybe not, because a lot of these are sock puppet accounts. But interestingly, they get tons of retweets. Julia Song, her tweets exactly, it's verbatim. I just left the ER. We're officially back to getting crushed by COVID-19. Delta variant is... Look, the fatality rate, that's the number that matters. The fatality rate is lower than it's been since March of 2020. Let's soak in that number. We're back to getting, officially back to getting crushed. Why has there been an effort since March of 2020 to push panic porn into people's minds? Why? Well, there's various reasons. The record high profits for Pfizer with their junk mRNA injections, which do not create any immunity for people. There's that. There's power for the state. There's power for the party. There's emergency powers for kings like Inslee and de Blasio and Brown and Newsom. There's a whole confluence of things. The only people who don't benefit from this are people who want to remain born free human beings. We're the only ones who don't benefit from this. This is why I've taken what some people in Special Forces Army Ranger world, that I didn't serve, but I was talking to a friend of mine who did. That's why we've been taking what they call a resistance stance. Not wearing a woke mask has been a resistance stance. And this is getting harder. The people who live in free America, those of us who live in what continues to be the United States, places like North Idaho and to some degree Eastern Washington and Central Washington, Eastern Oregon, there's even parts of California, Northeastern California, that is still part of free America. There's, you know, around the country, there's pockets of areas that are still born free Americans running things. Then there's separate countries like Washington, and even within the separate country of Washington, Washington has become effectively socialist. Seattle is effectively Maoist communist. And you want to see the effect on people? I'm going to tell you about a little boy. Well, I'm going to use the work of Ryan Yamamoto from Como News. Appreciate you reporting this, Ryan. Tell you about a little boy was in the elevator in Pike Place Market, an elevator with his mother in Pike Place Market, and this little boy was caused to ask, am I going to die? You'll love the mindset of the person who caused that little boy to think that. We'll get to that right after. It used to be when I was a young father. Well, I was old when I had kids. Well, it used to be when my daughter was young. We would go almost twice a month. We'd go to Pike Place Market and experiment with foods and see different people. And there was the gentleman who used to bring the stand-up piano and play it on the street corners. Always there. There were sometimes surprise appearances by real-life rock stars who were setting up acoustic shows. You just had to know who they were. There were other just unknown acts that would come in and set up. And there was the guy whose cats were trained. He had trained cats. You know how hard it is to train cats to do tricks? He had cats that would stand up on their back legs and do pull-ups, and there were guys with trained birds. I mean, the Pike Place Market used to be magical. Now it is a garbage dump. I hate to say that, but it is. Because it's surrounded by open-air drug dealing and sex trafficking and assaults and gang shootings and human feces in the streets and opioid-soaked urine washing down the gutters down into Puget Sound. That's what's become of this former jewel of downtown Seattle. Still, there's people who take their kids there. Ryan Yamamoto from Como News has a story of a little boy who was in an elevator with his mother in Pike Place Market.
The bizarre case inside an elevator in Seattle's Pike Place Market. A woman now under arrest this morning accused of pepper spraying a young child and his mom. Police say she told them she did it because she was concerned about the COVID-19 Delta variant. Investigators say 37-year-old Cesarnia Slape attacked the family, claiming they weren't wearing masks and that she is high risk.
We understand that people are concerned about the Delta variant, but you can't attack people who aren't wearing a mask.
When we dug into Slape's record, she's had 21 arrests ranging from disorderly conduct to theft. Plus, she has 3 prior convictions from the King County Prosecutor's Office. This morning, Slape is being held at the King County Jail. Prosecutors asked her bail to be set at $5,000. The judge set it at $1,000 instead. Last check, though, she's still in jail and could face felony assault charges, including assault on a child.
Yeah, could face, but won't. The judge lowers it to a grand. By the way, there's leftist agitators in Seattle whose life is about bailing people like this out. The Northwest Bail Fund bails people like this out. And you could say, Herman, she's a crazy lady. She might be. She probably is mentally ill. She may well be under the boot of fentanyl and meth and heroin, and she may well have been sex trafficked, and she may well be a victim of all those things. And because Seattle is a communist, Maoist nation inside of a socialist nation of Western Washington, she continues to roam the streets. And by the way, you could also say, well, but Herman, my point is, she's crazy. That's why she blamed the Delta variant. No. No, 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 no. The only thing different between her and a good 20% of smugrels in Seattle, smug liberals, smugrels, is she actually hit go on the pepper spray. They'll threaten you with it. Do I need to remind people? Well, I guess we get new people joining the show every so often, pretty regularly. There was a guy who was not crazy. He was fully employed at a hardware store in West Seattle, hit a dude with a baseball bat because the guy didn't want to wear a mask in the store. Hit him with a baseball bat. This is a direct result of the Mockingbird Media in Seattle, which has been 100%. Pro-mask, pro-lockdown, refusing to question any of these tactics.
refusing to call out the king, Inslee, for lying about death statistics. Refused to do that. And when I say all of them, I mean 100% of the Mockingbird media. There has not been a decent traditional news media report about the COVID flu in the state of Washington. Not one. So this little boy, am I going to die? Thankfully, no, the little boy is not going to die. Lorena Gonzalez, she is one of these people who gets to be an office holder in Seattle. She gets to call herself a Seattle councilwoman, Seattle City councilwoman. She has figured out why there's been a record number of murders where guns are the tool used by the killer in Seattle. She's figured it out. She has a very long tweet stream that Jason Rantz hipped me to, and she's running for mayor. She's figured it out, though. She put together a theory. She put together a thinking panel, a group, and they went through a whole series of ideas. What could it be? It's the NRA. It's the NRA. Because the National Rifle Association, they're shipping cartel members into Washington State to take advantage of the open-air drug dealing and sex trafficking. And you know, if one of the ways you can tell but the difference between the Crips and the Bloods is the Bloods, they put the NRA sticker on the left side of their guns, whereas the Bloods put them on the right side of their guns, their NRA stickers, because they're big NRA members. Now that Orange Man Bad is gone, having praised Cuomo, Cuomo News, now that Orange Man Bad is gone, they can finally let voices of sane people trapped in the separate country of Seattle speak about what's going on in the separate country of Seattle. Another Cuomo News piece here.
A regional response to gun violence, while important, is not going to be the answer. Lisa Herbold and the council president and former chairwoman of the Public Safety Committee, Lorena Gonzalez, need to say what their plans are for how the city is going to not set a new record for homicides.
Many people who live in these neighborhoods impacted by the shootings like Belltown, which Lewis also represents, are wondering why these elected leaders aren't out on the streets reassuring their constituents or coming up with some type of tangible game plan. Victoria Beach says the optics are horrible.
How many times have we been here, Jonathan? How many times? It doesn't change. They haven't come out and they won't come out.
This is Jonathan Show from Cuomo News. Why aren't they out in the streets? Because the streets are dangerous, Jonathan. That's why they're not out in the streets. Nothing will change. This is your fault, Seattle voters. You did this. You welcomed this. Those murders are your murders. Remarkable. There is a city south of Seattle called Burien that's being ruined by a group of leftists who lied their way into office by pretending, and it is a pretense. I've asked a sheriff's deputy, Ryan Abbott, years ago, have you ever arrested a white supremacist or anything like that in Washington, in Burien, Washington? He said, no, I've never seen anything like that. Jimmy Mata is the mayor. He spent about $50,000 on a primary, according to the Burien Voice, to win a mayor's seat in a small town. He pretends that Nazis are coming after him. He was on the Jason Rantz show, and he claimed that lightning bolts on a recall Mata sign or don't elect Mata sign. That's all. It's white supremacy.
Right. Well, and so that's why I'm offering $2,000. It may be that, you know, it's just some individual that wants to exercise his rights. But, you know, at the end of the day, let's talk about that sign. That sign there, we should know who's doing that, okay? If it's not the white supremacy with the lightning bolts, then who is it?
Well, Jason Rantz found out where those images came from. Jason will join us at 7:15 this morning. We'll ask him about this. Mata just continues to lie. Oh, I'm being targeted by white supremacists. That's why I have to spend $50,000 in a primary in Burien, Washington, a city I'm ruining.
I've been assaulted once before in the city where the individual...
He was a drunk dude at a bar who touched your arm, James.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, in this particular case, you're not making the claim.
But look at the pattern, though. But look at the pattern, Jason. You know, my uncle got socked in the jaw when I was running. No, mm-hmm. They didn't steal from him. They didn't, you know, take his beer.
We will talk with Jason Rantz at 7:15 this morning about the full story of this clownish man, Jimmy Mata, the so-called mayor of Burien, Washington. And if you're around the country saying, Burien what? Just think of it this way. That's your future unless you take a stance of resistance. Let's talk about a stance of resistance next on the Todd Herman Show. Give me that post. Hey, it's Todd Herman Show. Todd FM. I grew up around one of the best radio men in the world. So I understand what cheesy radio sounds like. That's called puking. So back in the day that they had people talk like that. I was supposed to guess who that is, and I don't know. Brady Bones is filling in this week, and he's picked the music. So I will determine that during next break. Maybe you guys know who that was. Fine bump music, though. Yesterday, I had lunch with a friend of mine who is a retired Army Ranger. And I asked him a question, and I'm sure that people in his position get really sick of questions like these, but he was very kind. I asked him about the SEER school. You know what that is? I clearly, having not served, only talk about it on the edges. I have a friend of mine whose husband is an instructor there. There's SEER schools around the country. There happens to be one at Fairchild Air Force Base. This is the place that teaches you what to do if, God forbid, you crash land or are behind the enemy lines and you're cut off from your troops and you're at risk of being captured. And the acronym stands for Survive, Evade, Resist, Escape. That's your job. There's four things you're to do. If, for instance, your helicopter goes down and you guys are alive, your job, first of all, is obviously to survive and then to evade capture. If you fail to evade capture or they get you, then it's to resist and then to escape. And it's the resistance part that I was asking my friend about. Because we're going to have to resist. And we're going to have to take a stance of resistance, which is what my friend taught me that phrase yesterday, a stance of resistance. There's some great examples to this. The parents who are, thank the Lord and thank them, standing up to school board meetings and saying, no, I am going to ask you the sexualized questions from the textbooks that you are putting in my kids' heads. I am going to ask you if you have sex toys at home. Stance of resistance. This is your 3 minutes at the mic. Hi, my name's Todd Herman. I'm a parent here in the district. And just a show of hands, please, from all the council members. Do you have between one and three sex toys? Raise your hands. I'm sorry. I just object. No. This is in your textbooks. So one and three sex toys at home? Who, between three and seven? Have you ever had group sex? If so, when and with whom? It's a stance of resistance. Not everybody's willing to do that. Another stance of resistance you can do is make their work harder if you're in the schools. Maybe you're not ready to stand up. Maybe you can't. Maybe fear has overtaken you. And maybe it's a reasonable fear. You could lose your job. You can take a stance of resistance within the school. You see someone has copied a bunch of perverse pornographic sex ed curricula and it's in the copy room, steal it. Steal it. Dump it. You don't want to do that? Accidentally spill coffee all over it. You don't want to do that? Accidentally light it on fire. Whoops! Did I light that on fire? The stances of resistance we have to take are not just in the face of the classroom. We have to do that. Another stance of resistance is, yeah, actually, my kid's not coming to that class. And you want to go through the rigmarole of trying to make me do that? Fine. A great stance of resistance is, we're actually not coming to the school. do that before school starts so they don't get to take your property tax dollars or those, and they don't get to take the property tax dollars appointed to your students and spend it. The stance of resistance. See, what I was learning from my friend is one of the goals when you're taken captive is they want to use you in propaganda films, propaganda videos. So they might put a inert weapon in your hand and take a picture or video of you to make it look like you're guarding your fellow prisoners. And so one of the techniques is you extend your middle finger as you're holding the weapon so people back home can see, okay, he's being forced to do this, she's being forced to do that. In the case of propaganda footage, never go to a school board meeting without a sign. Never go to a school board meeting to speak without a t-shirt on with a message. Because the media, they want the propaganda shots of people being angry and being Kafka trapped. See, here's why we have to do this. The woman who gets to call herself the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, she has announced that compliance documents, compliance apps, might be the way forward in the United States of America. A government app you carry. Folks, I love you. I thank you for supporting this program. And I am speaking to you, not radio hosts, to audience. I'm speaking to you as human being to human being. If you put those woke masks back on your face, you are a prisoner of a mind war. Even if you believed they worked the first time, now you know they didn't. This is how serious the stance or the need for the stance resistance is. In Iceland, where 90% of the population has gotten the mRNA injections, their country's so-called top epidemiologist says that they may need to lock down for 15 years. For 15 years. Even though 90% of the population has been shot up with the mRNA injections. 15 years. This demand to put the woke masks back on your beaks, that's propaganda, guys. You are in a propaganda film when you put that stuff on your faces. It is to instill fear. It is to push the mRNA injections. It is solely for that. It has no medical benefit. When we don't speak up in a stance of resistance, like in the Olympics, there's the man in the weightlifting competition. The IOC has put out a special statement saying we must praise, quote, her courage. We must be the people. If you watch the Olympics, and I don't because they told me they don't want to, you're sitting in someone's home watching the Olympics, turn to your friends and go, that's a man. Just so we all know, that is a man competing against women. If you're in a bar, maybe raise a bet, like pull out the cash. Who's betting on the man to beat a woman in weightlifting? Stance of resistance. I knew this would happen, and you did too. Officer Dunn, with the teary-eyed testimony in Nancy Pelosi's Kabuki Theater, was on CNN. Officer Dunn is the new hero of the nation. Officer Dunn, who's a fan of some riots, but not others. We'll get to that sound when we come back on the Todd Herman Show. All the people who were feverishly texting in saying, that's Linkin Park, Herman. I'd never heard the band. Apologize. I can't tell you how removed I am from, well, in some ways, the world. It's weird because together, you guys send me so many great things for the show and point things out on social media. I was just looking at some things. So in that way, like you, I'm connected. But maybe oddly, I promise you, you could come to me and say, you could make up a movie name, make it up and say, oh my gosh, have you seen Joe Biden starring in BJ and the Bear? Well, I would know that's not true because he never drove an 18-wheeler. But you could come to me with a made-up movie name, or you could come up and say, oh my gosh, Did you see the remake of Smokey and the Bandit with that dude from the Marvel movies? It's incredible. And I could go, wow, Smokey and the Bandit remake. I had to have no idea. I kind of plugged into other things. And I wanted to ask a question, just real quick. Who hides things? I mean, yes, you're giving your wife a wedding gift, and so you hide that. So maybe it's people who intend to issue a surprise hide things. Okay, fair enough. Do people who are proud of their actions go around hiding their actions? No, usually people who are proud of what they've done have said, yeah, look what I did. I feel good about this. Glory be to God. He gave me the ability to do these things. Criminals, unless they live in Seattle, hide things. In Seattle, there's no reason to hide a crime because it will be applauded and paid for. But generally speaking, criminals hide things. Right? Why is the World Health Organization going about erasing their diktats that countries use a 46 cycle rate PCR test to pretend to find the COVID flu in people's bodies? Why are they doing that? Why are they erasing those orders? Like Andy Cuomo, Thug Cuomo in New York State, erased his executive order forcing COVID positive patients into nursing homes. Why did he erase that? Why did he hide that? Because he was afraid Trump would be reelected and he'd actually be investigated. Why is the WHO hiding this? Because they don't want a record of their human rights crimes. The deaths they've caused, the millions of deaths they and Tony the Fauci have caused. That's why they're erasing history, recent history. And they're getting caught at it, but only in channels and sources like this show and the independent data analysts and people on Team Reality on Twitter and our friends like Justin Hart and Ethical Skeptic. We're tracking these things. Why is the DOJ and the FBI hiding the paperwork behind the decision to let the rioters into the buildings in the Capitol? Why are they hiding the decision-making process behind saying, no, we don't want the National Guard there? Why are they not bringing the FBI agents who were embedded with and had infiltrated the group of people who went to Washington, D.C., perhaps with the intent to riot? Why are they not questioning these FBI agents about having known this was coming? Why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you go to Nancy Pelosi and say, you better get the National Guard? Why didn't you do these things? Why are they hiding 10,000 hours of footage of this event? Why are they pretending that the guy who was screaming in the middle of the mob saying, we're going to take the Capitol, we got to get inside there, why are they pretending he's not an FBI agent when it's pretty well known he was an FBI agent? Why are they not bringing to bear the people who were in the pro-Trump crowd saying, no, no, we're not going in there. That's our capital. We're not breaking into anything. Or the people who surrounded him, pointing at him, saying, Fed, Fed, Fed. Why are they not doing that? Why are they not bringing these things to bear? Why are they hiding the funders of Black Lives Matter Incorporated? Do you think they don't know? They could subpoena the records. Susan Rosenberg, the convicted bomber who tried to blow up the Senate building and tried to murder Republicans. Why is she not being brought to testify? She had her charges thrown out. She was released of her charges by William Jefferson Blythe Clinton III, the guy busy receiving oral favors from young interns in the White House. Why are they not bringing her in to testify? Who's funding you? Why are they ignoring this? Who hides things? Sometimes it's people who intend to give you a gift. Sometimes it's people who intend to bring you a nasty surprise, like an ambush. People who intend to ambush you hide. People who intend to sucker punch you don't make themselves known. People who have committed a massive crime hide the evidence, World Health Organization. Now, here comes Officer Harry Dunn. Man, he was teary-eyed. I've heard even people who contend to be conservative commentators say, oh, this makes the case. He cried. Therefore, he's right. He cried about January 6th, but he was a big fan of Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots. He called Trump the racist in chief. And he was on CNN with Donnie Lemon, who at one point seemed to believe that black holes can eat airplanes.
That's First Amendment protests is what this country is about. The First Amendment, the Constitution, that's the democracy of it. But once you start attacking people, attacking things, then that's wrong. Mm. And you know what? That goes to the riots this summer. They were wrong. If you peacefully protest, then sure.
Yeah, except you didn't say that on Twitter last summer. You didn't say that. You attacked Tucker Carlson for attacking the rioters.
But the riots and the violence and the damage this summer, they were wrong.
But
they were wrong.
Say that.
And that's the exact same thing that happened at the Capitol. But their goal was to overthrow democracy, which is a bigger threat to America.
Oh. So the unarmed people who were partly let into the Capitol, some broke in, their goal was to overthrow democracy. A billion-dollar terrorist organization with thousands of lawyers bailing people out overnight, supply chains of medical supplies, food supplies, with pallets of bricks left on street corners for them, with weapon-making facilities for having IEDs, with classes taught around the country on how to stab a police horse in the heart or drop marbles or steal bearings in the way of police horses, with a federal courthouse in Portland. They attempted to burn it down night after night, attempted murders of cops, attempting to steal federal property and succeeding in stealing a city and a police station. That was not an attempt to overthrow democracy. Harry Dunn is a fraud. And they're hiding that. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.